The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord.
When the Pharisees heard that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered together, and one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question to test him. "Teacher, which commandment in the law is the greatest?" He said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the greatest and first commandment, and a second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." Now, while the Pharisees were gathered together, Jesus asked them this question, "What do you think of the Messiah? Whose son is he?" They said to him, "The son of David." He said to them, "How is it then that David, by the Spirit, calls him Lord, saying, 'The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I put your enemies under your feet'? If David thus calls him Lord, how can he be his son?" No one was able to give him an answer, nor from that day did anyone dare to ask him any more questions. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you.
In the name of the Holy Trinity, one God. Amen. Once there was a family. The parents were well-meaning, well-intentioned, loving people who wanted the best for their two sons, Jesse and Jake, who were some years distant in age from each other. They were bright boys, and their parents provided them with loving rules and boundaries for them to live by. But as Jesse grew older, as he got into high school, he got bored, as bright kids sometimes do. He got in with the wrong crowd. He got mixed up with drugs. He dropped out of school. He left home, went to live on his own, became a dealer, and then went down the slippery slope into being an addict himself. The inevitable result of his addiction was a growing paranoia. And Jesse got so terrified that one day he woke up and realized he needed to go home. He needed to go straight to kick the habit. And he went back to his home and begged his mother and father to take him back in. Well, they let him in with many misgivings and with strict conditions about how his behavior should be. They were particularly concerned about his influence on his little brother, Jake, who was, as younger brothers of mischievous older brothers tend to be, a bit of an overachiever, an understandable effort to get his parents' attention because all they ever talked about was Jesse. Hadn't been long that Jesse had been home before somebody found a joint. His parents were heartbroken. They loved their boys. They wanted the best for them. But he was not able to keep the rules they had set. And so they kicked him out again. They loved him deeply, but they had to maintain the standards that they had set out of their own love for the sake of Jake, the little brother. Now, change the exact nature of Jesse's misdeeds, and this could almost be a story from Scripture. The two brothers, the loving parents, the rules, the leaving, the returning, the failure. But actually, it's the secondary plot in an episode of a TV show called Breaking Bad. Has anyone seen Breaking Bad? It's on AMC. It's not for the faint of heart. And it's not for young children either. It's a very gritty story, so black a comedy that it's perhaps not a comedy at all. The storyline revolves around twin poles of terminal lung cancer and dealing of crystal meth. So not the sunniest of family shows. But Breaking Bad addresses some deep issues of our humanity and of our relationships, both with each other and with God. See, God gives us rules to live by because God loves us. And we try, most of us, most of the time, to live by those rules. All of us, no exceptions, crave love. We crave respect, acceptance, and a place to belong. Breaking Bad asks questions like, when is it acceptable to break the rules for the sake of love? And what are our deepest values? Every episode of the show brings home the truth that love is at the core of our life. Love offered, love lost, love buried under avalanches of anger and disappointment, love reclaimed and rediscovered. Love is at the core of our life and of our life in God. When my sons attended Vacation Bible School as preschoolers, some perhaps almost 20 years ago now, we learned a simple song that has stayed with me because I suppose it was so simple. It went like this. We love because God first loved us. We love because God first loved us. We love, we love, we love because God first loved us. Doesn't get any simpler than that, does it? We love because God first loved us. The core of our scripture story. When the Pharisees test Jesus' orthodoxy with their question about the greatest commandment, it's no surprise to us that he bypasses all 650 of the laws in the Torah and goes straight to the heart of it, to the central message. Love God. Love God with your heart, with your mind, with your soul, with everything you have. And then flowing inevitably from loving God, love your neighbor. The commandment, the rule, to love what God loves, i.e. everyone else. Everything else depends on these two simple rules. Everything else, all the other rules, flow from these. God has given us rules to live by because God loves us and wants us to flourish, just as the parents of Jesse and Jake wanted their sons to flourish. We may struggle and rebel against the rules, against those high expectations of justice, of generosity, of inclusiveness, of self-control. And Leviticus, by the way, gives us exhaustive lists of all of those rules and expectations. But in the depths of our hearts, we know that God has these expectations of us because God loves us. And the way to return that love, the way to respond to it, the way to reciprocate is to love what God has made, to love everyone. As the people of God, we are called to live godly lives, to be holy as the Lord our God is holy. That means living as if we really believe that God loves everything and everyone that God has made. Perhaps even Muammar Gaddafi is beloved by God. It means living lives that are formed in love and framed in love, that are boundaried by love and ruled by love. The kind of love that Jesus shows us by example in his self-giving love. Back to the story of those two sons, Jesse and Jake. It might seem like an unlikely or possibly even inappropriate illustration of the gospel message to talk about a meth dealer, but listen to the postscript, the final scene in that episode. Jesse is waiting for the cab to come that's going to take him away from his home and from his parents. And little brother Jake comes down the driveway, looks around, no parents about, and says to Jesse, "Thank you for taking the blame, for not telling on me." You see, the joint belonged to Jake. Amen.